Hey, Undisputed listeners, before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Back in 2015, Packers DC Mike Pettine was the head coach for the Cleveland Browns, and he was asked about his reaction to the Tom Brady Deflategate findings and told reporters, quote, "I've always had a lot of respect for him, but also I lose a lot of respect for people who cheat." Brady has won 2 Super Bowls since then, but the stigma of the Deflategate incident might still linger with some people. Shannon, looking back on it, did you lose any respect for Brady as a cheater?
Skip. It's not so much that he did it, is that he benefited from it. If you look at the Houston Astros, if you were a hitter and they were banging the trash can and you received a signal, how are you not part of that? Tom Brady directly benefited from Spygate. He directly benefited knowing what the defense could possibly be doing. There's a reason why they cut the help. Think about what they did, Skip. From that moment on, the defensive players could receive calls in his head just like the quarterback could from the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Now the defensive coordinators. That was a direct reflection of Spygate. For me, for you to say, well, that ain't got nothing to do with Tom. When Tom benefited, it's called fruit of the poisonous tree. You benefited from that act. So if you look at the Houston Astros and guys that were batting, and they banging whatever the mechanism that they use, or the Boston Red Sox, whatever mechanism they used, how can you not say? So for me, it's there. There's no way around it. That's on his resume. Where you rank it is up to you, but you cannot expunge it from his resume. That's on there, Skip. That happened. Deflategate, now Skip, maybe it's the cold, maybe this or that. Those guys went in the room, they did something. Maybe he said, I like it on the lower end, but don't do anything illegal. We can go back and forth. But the one thing that's undeniable is Spygate. Mm. And the one thing that's also undeniable is that he directly benefited from that.
Okay. Yeah, back to your Astros analogy.
Yes.
We're not all the Astros when they went to bat. Were they not directly involved in the cheating scandal? Did they not have to participate in it?
Yeah.
Right? So they had to actually do it. They had to take part in the cheating.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't argue that Brady didn't benefit, because I believe, as the great Don Shula once said, that it's Bella cheat. And he got accused, remember, first 2 Super Bowls of actually
taping the
walkthroughs mm-hmm. on Saturday. It would have been the Rams and the Panthers. Mm,
correct.
Accused by both organizations publicly, even Marty Herney, now he's back to being the GM of the Washington football team, mm-hmm. but he was in Carolina at that point, went on the radio and talked about how we were convinced they taped our walkthrough.
Right.
I don't know if that's true or not, but they got accused of those two.
And his disciple lost his job in Denver for doing the very same thing in London okay. to the San Francisco 49ers.
Josh McDaniels.
That is correct.
Who's now up for the Eagles job. Okay, so do I believe it came from the top, from Belichick? I do. Did Brady benefit? I can't argue that he did not benefit. But did he have direct involvement in the cheating? Because this is just me, if we can fast forward to Deflategate. I will go to my grave believing Tom Brady didn't know anything about the inflation or deflation mm-hmm. of footballs. All I know is that he was on the record way before Deflategate. He liked his footballs inflated to the low end of legal.
Right.
The low end.
Right.
Well, that's okay
right.
because most people would like it. I think Aaron likes
Aaron
his balls a little tighter.
A little tighter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
14. Well, we like
okay.
it. I think 13 is the low. 13 and a half is the
okay.
lowest you can go.
All right. So that'll be interesting on Sunday. Will they, you know, we're in the realm, in that region of legal, wonder where those balls will feel to Tom Brady.
Right. And then you got to get into all this, okay, the cold weather and the deflation of the football
well,
because
it's
the cold.
It's called the ideal gas law.
Right.
Remember that from
yeah.
Deflategate?
Yes.
Okay. So this is just me. And I'm a Brady fan. I don't know Tom Brady. I've just known a whole lot of people mm-hmm. who do know him very well. Not one of them could remotely come up with a reason to believe that he cheated on the footballs. And all I know is that the great Peter King of Sports Illustrated fame and Monday Morning Quarterback fame offered to step down from his position because he felt like he had leaped to a false conclusion about the deflation of the footballs
right.
incriminating Brady.
Right.
And he later concluded on his Monday Morning Quarterback column that the NFL had such flimsy evidence that it was almost laughable, the case that they tried to make against Brady. Well, obviously, it went to one round of court, the district court in Manhattan, Judge Berman's court, remember that?
Yep.
And Judge Berman just threw it out, and he laughed openly in his findings at the NFL, saying you have no case against him, and he threw out Tom Brady's suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, of course, the NFL, being the NFL, it went to the appeals court, and he lost, it, and it got reinstated, the
right.
four-game suspension, at the appeals level. And then all of a sudden, they're coming up on OTAs, and camp is right around the mm-hmm. corner, and Brady, according to people I know very close to him, finally said, you know what? We spent a ton of money here, some of it from the Players Association,
right.
and I have spent a ton of my time on this,
right.
and it's time for football.
And he knew it was an unwinnable case because of Article 46.
Okay, and they had even thought about trying the Supreme Court on
right.
this, but you want to talk about a long road?
Yeah, you talk about the Hail Marys of Hail Marys.
It's a Hail Mary, but again, he thought he would have a chance to win it, but it was going to take too much of his focus and energy away from, here we go, let's go play football.
But Skip, this is what we found out about cheating. If the fans like you, they're more apt to.
I agree. Yeah.
You look at Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire.
Good one. Yep.
Barry Bonds a pariah. Mark McGwire done got job after job after job. Andy Pettit and Roger Clemens. They did the exact same thing. It's reported they took the exact same. They love Andy Pettit. Don't he got a statue out there in Monument Park or something? Got a plaque out there? And Roger Clemens can't even get a vote. Roger Clemens was, even if you believe he did it, he was still arguably one of the five or six greatest pitchers before he started doing it.
I know, but Andy Pettit was core four of the Yankees, remember?
He cheated.
Okay.
He could be core two.
Yeah.
But he cheated.
Uh-huh. I'm with you.
But see, if we like you, we're more apt to forgive your transgressions.
I agree with that.
If we don't, no matter what you say, there's not enough apologies. If you had 1,000 tongues and said, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. that's not enough.
Okay, so what was the proof in the pudding on that fateful night, that Saturday, I believe it was it a Saturday night game? It seemed like it was the AFC Championship game.
It was Sunday.
Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday game.
It seemed like
AFC Championship was always Sunday.
I know it was, but anyway, I remember
it was a night game because they played
game.
The Colts.
Okay, that's correct. Okay, so it's Colts at Foxborough.
Correct.
And they had played a game in week 11 in which they got blown out and they were suspicious of the footballs.
Right.
So Ryan Grigson, then the GM of the Colts.
Somebody intercepted a ball.
And it felt weird to them. Okay, the same guy intercepted two balls in that game.
Right.
So now we go to the...
That's DeQuell Jackson.
Okay. All right. So we go to then the championship game. And it's 17-7 Patriots at halftime. And that's when the referee, Walt Anderson, came into the ballroom, you know, where the balls were stored, and measured them mm-hmm. against what he had measured, he said, before the game.
Right.
Well, then the ideal gas law kicks in because it's so cold
outside.
That they're going to lose some of their inflation. Okay, so for no matter what got proved or not proved in that room at halftime, the balls were then properly inflated to whatever they should have been. So they were legally inflated footballs in the second half.
Right.
Brady goes 12 of 14 for 131 yards and two touchdowns, and it turns into a 45-7 game, from 17-7 to 45-7.
I said, okay. Brady could have been throwing a bowling ball. They were just better than the Colts.
Okay.
Now,
clearly, he had zero problems throwing a quote-unquote legally inflated football.
But here's the thing. He did something that guilty people don't normally do. He destroyed his phone. That's what got Secretary Clinton in trouble, mm-hmm. when she destroyed the email.
He said he does it regularly, and it came so far after the fact he had destroyed that phone, but he said he turns them around consistently.
I keep mine. Well, I don't turn it back in. I pay full price. You never get mine and get my information up off there.
Okay.
I don't trust you.
Okay.
I got from the brick, Skip. You remember they had the Motorola, the big brick? Mm-hmm. I got the big brick, the little medium size, the StarTech. I got them all the way down.
Okay.
Keep all mine.
All right, but you're not married, right?
No. Hey, man. All right. See, okay. There you go, Skip.
I'm kidding. Okay, so back to Tom Brady. So then he goes to the Super Bowl 2 weeks later. And yet, what happened in the off week on Saturday, what did Bill Belichick do to him?
He
called his own press conference, unbeknownst to the Patriots. He said, I'm going to do a Saturday press conference, which he would never, ever do.
Right.
And he threw him under 10 buses.
That's good. That wasn't a bus. That was a dump truck.
He threw him under the dump truck. And he said, you're going to have to ask my quarterback about this because I don't know anything about this.
Ain't nobody ask you about that.
He said, I'm not an expert in football measurements. I would beg to differ. I think he knows every last inch and ounce of everything about professional football.
Well, he says, he wets them up, he soaks them up, he freezes them up. That's what he said. That's what
practice.
He said. Yeah.
Yes, that would even reach for this line. I would not say I'm the Mona Lisa Vito of the football world as she was of the car expertise area. Do you remember my cousin Benny?
I do. Fran Drescher.
She testified.
Yeah.
No, it was...
That's a name. And her real life name.
No, it was Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei, excuse me, Fran
Drescher. She won...
She won the
Oscar for it. But anyway,
rightfully so.
Okay, so my cousin Vinny is about her testifying... Yeah. About her car, because she knew everything about classic cars. She knew it down to every last measurement. And Belichick saying, don't call me Mona Lisa Vito, right?
That feature wasn't added until a year later.
Okay. Okay. So it's he went so far as to say, don't incriminate me. You have to incriminate my quarterback.
Right.
Right?
Because, Skip, they had made it abundantly clear with Spygate. Because a lot of people was upset. Because what I was told that what they had on Spygate, it went farther than the 8 games. And he was told to destroy those tapes. Do not let those tapes get out.
Okay.
If you ever do something like this again, it's over for you, bro.
Yep. Well, that's what it was. And then...
It's him.
Okay. So I got it. So then once more, then Brady goes to the Super Bowl, which that year was at Phoenix, if you recall.
Yep.
And against Seattle Legion of Boom in the fourth quarter, they're down 24-14. And with, quote unquote, legally inflated footballs, it didn't bother him a bit.
No.
Because he throws for 124 just in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. And they rally to win thanks to, obviously, the last play of the game, Malcolm Butler.
Yeah.
But my point is, you could see that Brady had no trouble throwing a legally inflated football. It wasn't like you could see a supreme advantage or disadvantage where he was suffering from throwing properly inflated footballs.
You see the skip, but again, it goes back to the situation. And I give you a perfect example. You remember in the Super Bowl how much criticism Cam caught or got for not jumping on that football that was on the ground?
Yeah.
First play of the game in the Pittsburgh game, what did Big Ben do? Big Ben ain't jumping on AD coupling to the football right there. Big Ben could have jumped on it. Ain't nobody say nothing.
Okay. And?
If you like your skip.
Oh, okay. If they like you.
We ain't going to say nothing about that. He couldn't have gotten the ball. He probably was going to come out anyway. Mm. That's just the way it worked. They like Brady. Look, like I said, did Brady have direct knowledge of this? Did Brady direct? He didn't order the code red.
Yep.
But he benefited from the code red.
Okay. Well, I can't argue with that. I just don't think he participated in it.
Yeah. No. Only a handful of people knew. I guy works here, Eric knew. It's clearly Josh McDaniels knew because he brought it to Denver.
Oh, he's never going to live that one down, guys.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
No mercy.
In week 6, the Buccaneers throttled the Packers 38-10, and now ahead of the NFC Championship game on Fox, Matt LaFleur doesn't believe the loss earlier this season has any significance. Packers head coach told reporters, quote, "When you get to this time of year, it really doesn't matter. You're in the playoffs. You've got to focus on what's in front of you." Former All-Pro cornerback Antonio Cromartie is joining us now. So, Crow, tell us, does the first game matter?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And I say that just because it was week 6. That game doesn't matter. Both teams have gotten better offensively and defensively. So when you look at the whole entire thing, like Matt LaFleur said, it's all about getting ready for the game and what's ahead of you right now. You know, it's either win or go home. You do the things that you're good at. You take away the things that you're bad at, and you try to win those one-on-one battles that you can. You know, like I remember us getting blown out in 2010. 48-3 by New England, but in like week 11, week 12, come back and beat them in the division round of playoffs. So it doesn't matter what you have that memory of it, but it doesn't bother you at all. You got to go and go win that game, go out and compete.
I agree with you, Crow. Each game is unique in and of itself. And skip what we've seen. We've seen the Saints blow the Bucks out, and what happened? We saw the Steelers blow the Browns out, what happened? Now, both games are rematches, AFC and NFC. You know, Kansas City beat Buffalo, and I've always felt that the team that lost the game, Crow, had an advantage because you like, man, ain't nothing we do work. And the other team, like, everything we did worked. So, you know, one team is like, okay, we feel good about where we are because it's hard to change when you're having success. I don't think Jeff Bezos is coming up with a new model for Amazon. You're like, this thing pretty successful right now. I think I'm going to roll with this for a little while longer. Where the guys that's not as successful skill with their businesses, they're trying to come up with a model to replicate that. So, as Crow said, the Packers are better offensively. The offensive line is better offensively. The Tampa's better. Offensive line is a whole lot better. Not just since week 6, but they're better since week 10. Since they played Kansas City and New Orleans, they haven't given up maybe one sack. I think they gave up a sack on Sunday. But for the most part, Skip, it's a totally different ball game. Everybody will be focused. And week 6 matchup will have no bearing. Whomever wins this game, it will be the team that played the best. It will have no, because, oh, man, they beat him, and I knew this was going to happen. No. That's not how it works, Skip. Each game is different in and of itself.
Definitely.
I cannot tell you how much I disagree with both of you. I think this game matters hugely. The game we're talking about, October 18th, matters hugely to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, once known before Brady got there as the Succaneers. They didn't just beat the Packers. They beat them down. And I get what Crow's talking about. They got beat. The Jets got beat down. But the Jets knew who they were. And when they came back and beat Tampa Bay at that point.
The Saints beat you down.
Okay, but that was a division rivalry where you got thrown into the fire in the first game, and then you added AB to your mix on that Sunday night when you were 6-2 and you just weren't ready to play. And that was where you had to right the wrong. You had to beat your nemesis. But this is about going to the frozen tundra, Lambeau Field, against Aaron Rodgers. You say, the greatest thrower of the football ever. Well, guess what they did to Aaron Rodgers? They know deep down they took him all apart. He was his front-running best when he started that game. He goes down and gets a field goal, and then he goes down and puts the McCringleberry on him when he thought he'd scored it on a 7-yard scramble. But they did score, and it was 10-0. And then what happened? They pick-sixed him, and they nearly pick-sixed him again 3 plays later. And remember, Tampa Bay, that they were 7-9 last year. A majority of this team had never played a playoff game. They have a sprinkling of veterans, starting with the GOAT at quarterback and the GOAT tight end, who have played a whole lot of playoff football.
AB.
But what I'm saying. They're just a sprinkling of guys to come in. They brought in LeSean McCoy. Fournette's played a few playoff games. Shaq Barrett's played, but he wasn't even playing for Denver.
No, he wouldn't have started
it.
No, wouldn't even close.
And
no.
Sue played a few, played on the Rams run to the Super Bowl. Okay, we get that. But there have been a lot of kids who this is all new to, and they're going to be, you talk about getting blindsided by Lambeau Field, the cold on Sunday. This is going to be all new to them, but they know deep down what they did to this team after they got down 10-0. Look at Aaron's stats in that game. He was 16 of 35. You know what that is? That's 46%. That's the GOAT, you say.
Let me ask you a question.
46% for 160 yards?
What was the difference between Sunday's game, the Bucs and the Saints, from what, week 11, week 12? The turnovers. Are you telling me that Tampa's going to replicate what they did to Aaron Rodgers? Are they going to replicate that?
Okay, they know that they got to him 4 times when Bakhtiari was healthy, right?
Yeah.
So he's gone, and they know they can get after him. They are capable of getting to him.
Yeah.
Has Green Bay, as Crow has gotten better? Sure, both teams have gotten better. I'm talking about the psychology of knowing you're going up there against a team that, albeit in 88-degree weather, because that was the weather that Sunday at Tampa on October the 18th. It was 88 degrees and cloudy. It was a little bit windy, 12 miles an hour gust. But the point was, even though the climate was completely different, they put it on Aaron after he got them down 10-0. Well, psychologically, you got to know in your heart of hearts, we got this. They held Devontae to 60 yards. They held Aaron Jones to 10 carries, 15 yards. They know deep down, all the kids know, we can do this to them.
So I just want to know, so why is it so psychologically damaging to the Packers, but wasn't psychologically damaging to the Bucs, who gotten blown out by New Orleans, but went down there and put the smack down on them? So why was it different?
Okay, it's different because it's a division rival in which you'd been unfairly thrown into the division fire in game one at New Orleans. It was almost like we got to right the wrong. Then you tried to blend in AB on the fly, and you got punished. You got punished. You weren't ready to play that game. So that was different to me than this one. This is against a team you don't know. This is not a division.
You already played them. You know them.
Well, now you got to know them.
Yeah.
Remember what happened to the Giants? Remember in 07, the last regular season game, it was 38-35 at Giants,
right,
and they hung in there and just barely lost.
And what did that do? And it had no bearing second time.
Well, it had huge bearing because it allowed the Giants. No, I'm talking about the Giants to go to play New England in the Super Bowl at Phoenix.
Because you guys didn't change anything. You got 35. Mm-hmm. The Giants got an opportunity to change everything. They did what we needed. Okay, you know what? If we apply a little bit more pressure, we make a few more plays. The Packers, like, we can't play any worse than what we played, which led to us getting beat like we. Do you believe Aaron Rodgers and the Packers will play a similar game? Mm. Yes or no? Because if they do, they're going to get beat.
Okay.
If they don't, I'm getting four cases on Monday.
Okay. But guess what? Little known fact about the Packers, They beat a grand total of two teams in the regular season with a winning record. Only two teams. You like that? Does that make you feel better about your bet?
Hold on. Tell me. So, how many do you guys beat?
Huh?
How many do you guys beat?
I'm just talking about the Packers. They're the favorites. They got home field through the playoffs. They won the NFC.
But you make it seem like y'all
beat two teams with a winning record. You won at New Orleans, and you beat Tennessee at home. The only two teams you beat with a winning record. And you know deep down in your heart that when you went to Tampa, they just stomped on you.
Hey, you know why he didn't tell you? Because they won one. They beat the Packers. Mm. That's what y'all did.
Mm.
But Skip, this
but, yeah, but we're the sucking ears.
Don't do that.
Hey,
Skip,
but you got to think about this. You're bringing up all this, your stats and everything. But at the end of the day, it's football. Yeah. Y'all boys going to go into his game plan and do what he have to do. It's about execution. And they executed well when they played the Packers the first time. In week six, they capitalized on an interception. I'm not saying they're going to go out there and go pick them off three times again and have a return for a touchdown again, but it's just a point of execution. And if guys can go out there and execute and play to the best of their ability, that's all they can do. They got to make the plays that come to them. If they don't, then they're going to get beat. And that's just hands down. And when you look at Green Bay, their offense has gotten better. The running game has gotten better. So It's gonna be a point where you have the number one running defense going against Aaron Rodgers and that offense trying to run the ball also, because everything's gonna be dictated off the run game when it comes into this game. Because if they can't run the ball, they know they can make it one dimensional and they can play zone defense and make him hold the ball and apply pressure with that front four.
And that's what's gonna be important for you guys. You guys are gonna need to run the football, because that's really what helped you guys against the Saints. Y'all didn't just drop back and pin. They couldn't just pin their ears back. You got some quality runs. So
and
running game.
Aaron Rodgers had the most rush yards on Sunday of any playoff game he has ever played. He benefited from the most rushing yards. So don't give me, oh, Tom had so much help running the football. Aaron had the most help he's ever had.
No, Skip, I'm saying, you remember the last time you played the Saints? You had the fewest carries in the NFL game in the history of the game. You had five carries, Skip. So now you look at what you did. You had, 130 yards running? You had two guys that rushed for over 60 yards.
Yeah.
So you don't want that, huh?
Look, what you're ignoring is the fact that Brady had to go down there on the fly with no preseason and teach that team how to win on the fly the way he won at New England.
Skip.
So any psychological edge that you have, this isn't a veteran team like your Jets team. It's not Revis and Cromartie at the corners. It's Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean.
Skip, we're in week 19.
They're young.
We're in week 19.
Yep.
Ain't 19. No more teaching now. Everybody, you know everybody. You know everybody's name. You know their wife's name. You know their girlfriend's name. You know their kids' name. Tom Brady knows everybody in that locker room.
Oh,
so you can't you can't keep using there was no OTAs. There was no. We 19, 20 weeks in now, Skip. It's time to go. It's go time.
He got them to the NFC Championship.
That ain't
game.
Good enough.
You want to talk about acceleration?
Blake Bortles did that. Blake Bortles got to a championship game. What'd that mean?
Well, that wasn't his first year there.
Yeah, what that mean?
Okay.
He said Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles got yeah, exactly.
So you comparing Tom Brady to Blake Bortles?
But you know,
did you hear that, Tom?
No.
He watches.
What you try to do, Skip Bayless, now all of a sudden, Crow, is just good enough to get there. You see how he's getting himself a little caveat, trying to get himself out with Aaron Rodgers, put that ball to it.
100%.
What an achievement to get them to the championship.
You're not achieving that.
Wait, did you predict that?
No.
No, did I? Yes. Yes.
Hold on. So now
game over.
So now you want to star your report card. Mm. You predicted the Tampa would get to the championship game. They did.
Straight A's over here.
You've got to give Skip credit for seeing this one coming. I have to admit there. Antonio, we appreciate your time.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
Eight-time Pro Bowler Philip Rivers will be retiring after 17 NFL seasons. Rivers ends a successful career, finishing fifth in completions, yards, and touchdowns. He was never able to reach the Super Bowl, though, and he ends with a 5-7 playoff record. So, Shannon, do you remember Rivers' career in a positive or a negative light?
Positively. He's fifth in passing yards, skill fifth in touchdowns, passed Marino on both of those this year. 17 years. He didn't play very much in his first two seasons, playing behind Drew Brees, but got his opportunity. And once he took over, Skip, he didn't miss a snap. Played 15 straight, basically years, uninterrupted, played a championship game on a torn ACL. But, Skip, we got to get out this notion that if you don't win a championship, you're not a great player. Because there have been a lot of great players in a lot of different sports that's never won a championship. And what fun is that? Championships wouldn't have its meaning if every great player won a championship. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not his fault that he came along at the wrong time. He played in the era, Skip. Let me guess who was in his era. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Big Ben. In his 17 seasons, those three guys went to 14 of the Super Bowls in the AFC. Yep. In his 17 seasons. And we're talking about two of those guys are on the all-century team.
Yep.
That's not a knock. I mean, I think Philip Rivers had an unbelievable career, but that's the problem, Skip, because you look at he and Drew. You look at what Drew Brees accomplished once he went to New Orleans. You look at he was in the draft with Eli mm-hmm. Manning and Big Ben.
Yep.
Those two guys who got two Super Bowls on their resume. Eli has two Super Bowl MVPs. Ben been to a third, so three. So when you look at it like, well, he ain't that good, but no, that's not how you should judge him. Tom Brady, that's not a knock. He kept a lot of people. That's like Jordan. That's like saying, well, Karl Malone and Barkley ain't any good because they ain't get no chance. Well, Jordan kept a lot of people from beating. Mm. So, I look at his career positively. He's a heck of a competitor, great trash talker, great father, great husband.
Yep.
And I thought he would come back because I thought he played well enough to come back. But he's like, you know, hey, 8-9 kids. Wife has been probably doing double time for the last 17 years, Skip. Mm. He's like, babe, I'm coming home.
Mm. I think he was to coach high school football.
Yeah, well, he already got a job lined up. So,
quick aside before I comment on Philip Rivers, does this fast track your man walk it to him Wentz or give it to him Wentz right up to Indianapolis?
It might.
To reunite with Frank Reich?
It might, because Frank got great service out of him when he was up. He was the OC, and then, you know, ended up getting the job once Josh McDaniels backed out. But it might, Skip. It might.
Back to Philip Rivers. So, because you are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. it becomes a little uncomfortable for you to talk about whether somebody should or should not be in your Pro Football
then,
Hall of Fame.
Because then it goes to Pro Football Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe says Philip Rivers shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. So. Well, I'm not in the Hall of Fame. I'm mostly in the Hall of Shame, so I will comment. If it were my call, Philip Rivers wouldn't be in my Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's not a knock on him. He just wasn't transcendent. He is in what I call the Hall of Very Good mm-hmm. because he was very good.
Right.
In fact, I consider Philip Rivers a classic overachiever. He didn't have the biggest arm. He did have the funkiest delivery I've ever seen in all my years watching football. I don't even understand how the ball comes out. Do you? Can you explain
No.
it? I don't know how he gets any velocity on the ball, but he always got enough velocity to be very good at what he did. And he once led the league one time in passing yards, and one time he led the league in touchdown passes. He also twice led the league in interceptions, but Eli had three times.
So did Favre.
And Favre. He did make, Philip Rivers, 8 Pro Bowls, which is very good. His overall record in the regular season was 134-104, which is very good. His playoff record was 5-7, which is not bad.
Right.
5-7. And he got to one AFC championship game, but he picked the wrong year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was 2007, and that team was pretty good up in Foxborough, right? So he had to go up in Foxborough, and what had happened to him the week before? He had torn his ACL.
Right.
So Philip Rivers played on a torn ACL against Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game, coached by Norv Turner with LT in his backfield, LaDainian Tomlinson. And they hung in, and LaDainian was beat up and couldn't go much of the game. Remember, he stood on the sideline. And they lost 21-12, but they hung in there.
Right.
He played pretty well. He had a QBR 39, so did Tom Brady. Right. They were both right there at the same, and it was windy and very cold. It was a tough day to play football. So he did that. That was as close as he got to Super Bowl, but that team was obviously undefeated at that point. Okay, so to me, I honor his career. I admire his career. But when we're talking about Hall of Fame, I just can't go there because I want my Hall of Fame to have just true greatness, like transcendent greatness in it. And it seems like by the year we water it down a little bit more and a little bit more. And, well, that guy, he was a good guy, and Phillip's a good guy, and I think the media always loved Phillip.
You look at his career, Skip. Yep. Okay, he came in, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Big Ben. Favre was still in the league then, still playing at a high level. Or, and tail end, you got Patrick Mahomes. Of those guys, we believe all the guys that I mentioned are in the Hall of Fame. Peyton's going in this year, obviously. Yep. Brady. That's what, I mean, Skip, that's what you, I mean, that's what you're looking at.
I got it.
And so, I mean, does anybody think he was better than those guys?
No, I don't.
He got the last 3 years of Patrick Mahomes. Do you think he's better than Patrick Mahomes?
No. So there were moments in Phillip's career where he got to the precipice and he needed to have that game at that moment to do that thing.
And plus now, let's not – he played with LaDainian Tomlinson. LaDainian Tomlinson was the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yep.
I believe another guy's going to be Antonio Gates, his tight end. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So let's not pretend that Phillip Rivers was going it alone in San Diego.
Okay.
Because he was not.
All right. I got it. Again, bottom line to his career was it left me wanting just a little bit more occasionally from him, that he could be a little bit disappointing in the biggest moments.
Yes.
Okay, that's it. But does that mean I'm going to remember him in a negative light? No, I can't go that far. I'll stick by what I said. He is in my hall of very good, which is a very good place to be. And I think he's very content with what he did. And I think he's proud of it. Mm-hmm. And I think he made a lot of friends, and he left a lot of goodwill behind him. And so I honor all of that.
One AFC championship game, 5-7 playoff record. But when you look at the big guns that he was in the era of, Skip, I mean, he just, you know, there are going to be a lot of good players that played and that caught the end of Kobe, and you got KD, and you got LeBron, and things like that. And you're going to look back and like, man, he had a nice career, but why did we hear him? Because KD and LeBron and Harden and things of that nature. And that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Sometimes guys get all the breaks and some guys just don't get the breaks. You need a few breaks to get where he wanted to go.
You might have should have been born 5 years earlier or 5 years later.
Yep.
So that's just the way it works out sometimes, Skip.
Whew, 17 years. All right, Phillip Rivers, we're going to miss watching him. Really well said, guys.
No mercy.
The NFL playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live as Tom Brady and the Buccaneers take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pre-game coverage starts at 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. We are counting down the days and looking forward to it as we get closer and closer to the action. Well, Bruce Arians has the Bucs one win away from the Super Bowl, thanks in large part to meshing with Tom Brady this season. And now Arians has explained how he's gotten the most out of his QB, telling Peter King, quote, "I allow him to be himself. Like New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back sometimes and watch." Shannon, how different do you believe it is for Brady in Tampa than it was in New England?
It's very different. Coach Belichick runs a tighter ship. It's much more strict. He suppresses your personality. We know that. He makes sure you don't even check your ego at the door. You leave your ego at home because he said if you check it at the door, you might go back and get it while you're here. So leave your ego at home. But this is the way I look at it, Skip. I look at quarterback-coach relationship or the way a coach does his team is like a parent with kids. I don't tell you how to raise your kids. You don't tell me how to raise mine. You don't tell me how to coach my team. I don't tell you how to coach yours. You gonna argue with Coach Belichick. Coach Belichick got more Super Bowl wins than Bruce Arians got playoff wins.
That's true.
But I'm going to listen to him. Now, I'm going to let him tell me how I should coach a football team, Skip. Mm-hmm. The man that I got more Super Bowl wins than he has playoff wins. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to listen to him now. Skip, it's hard for me to believe that Brady was not coaching the receivers, telling them how he would like them to run around. I find that virtually impossible because that's what Brady does. Brady coaches them up. Brady's like, look, this is what I want. And that's what quarterbacks do. Skip, they might give us, we going over plays and thing. I'm looking at John. Rob calls for 12 to 14. What you thinking, T? He's like, let's go to practice. Let's do 12 to 14. Knowing come game time, you're going to probably cut it down to 10. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. He's coaching me up. Well, I need you a little further outside. I need you to take this a little further than what it's called. That's coaching. Now, maybe he's coaching the defensive guy saying, like, okay, if you take a drop like that, I'm just going to look you there and I'm going to go here. So maybe he coached Devin White up on that pick, Skip. He's like, when that guy comes up the rail and Drew looks one way, he's coming back to the guy at the rail. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to look that way, and then I'm going to come back and pick this ball up.
Yep.
Maybe he does that. But for B.A. to try to take a little cheap shot, I let him be himself. Coach Belichick, not only did he not let Brady be himself, he let nobody be themselves. Mm. Everybody knows that. Gronk was the closest thing that we've seen to his personality being shown. But for the most part, it was like a Gattaca. Everybody had on the dark suits and the black ties, Skip. Everybody looked the same.
Yep. So, my opinion of this whole issue here is that Bruce Arians talks too much.
Nah.
Bruce Arians should just put a sock in it and go along for the greatest ride of his coaching life. What did he do after each of the Buccaneers' losses this year?
Yes, that's what I don't get. Now he coaching.
He critiqued Tom Brady. He didn't just he just decimated
it. Well, you don't skip it in practice. He don't miss those throws in practice. I don't know what happened in the game.
And the attitude was always, don't look at me. He's supposed to be the GOAT.
He looks
great in practice, but I don't know. Maybe he can't do it anymore in games. That was the attitude and the sort of the tone of everything that he talked about Brady after losses. So now he did
even
say,
blamed him. Remember the Mike Evans picked the first game?
Yeah,
that was Brady's fault.
And then I came on Monday. I said, I don't think that was Brady's fault. And then he looked at the tape and said, I take that one back.
Isn't that what coaches normally do?
Yeah.
Well, what happened in that play? Well, I haven't seen the tape. Let me take a look. Thank you.
So, to Bruce's credit, he did say very good things in this interview about Brady. He said, consummate leader, got the air of confidence that permeates through our team every day. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the essence of who they are
Correct. Right
now. Okay, but I allow him to be himself. Now we've gone over the edge into the deepest water.
Taking a shot at
a guy a lot of people think is the GOAT coach.
Right.
Like he says, New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. Well, I get it that Bruce allows him to coach in different ways than Bill allowed Tom to
Correct.
Coach. Because Bruce is like, in the end, Bruce is sitting back saying, who the hell am I? He's Tom Brady.
Right.
I got him.
Right.
I got him. Thank you, God. Right. I got Tom Brady. So he had a quote last week, Arians did, about, I'll tell these kids something in practice, and they won't even listen to me. And then Tom says the very same thing I say, and they go, oh, yeah, I got it. Well, yeah. He's Tom Brady.
Exactly.
We get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now back to this quote about New England didn't allow him to coach. I beg to differ on that one, because that's just naive on Arian's part. That's doing a disservice to the impact that Tom did have
right.
just on the offense
Thank
in
you.
New England. Just
Thank
on the offense.
Yes.
Because I've heard all the stories. I know so many people who played with Tom and who are still very close to Tom. They said practices, he could throw as big a fit as Belichick could throw.
Right.
Now, Belichick could throw fits at Brady in
right.
practice
right.
and get away with it because Brady would take it because he's, the coach's dream. His father taught him, if the coach yells at you, take it.
And sometimes, Skip, even though he's yelling at me, he's coaching you guys.
Correct. And Tom knew that.
Yes.
So, in practice, when Tom, if you false started in practice, you're going to hear about it. You can hear about it in a game.
Right.
But any mistake, any route that was supposed to run at 14 yards that gets run at 12, you're going to hear about
right.
it from Tom Brady. So he's coaching up the offense and getting away with it because he's earned the right,
right.
to do that.
Yes.
And at night, as we see in some of those Tom versus Time, videos that mm-hmm. we see, he's on the phone with Josh McDaniels at midnight talking about, I saw this play in the Cincinnati tape that I was watching. You think we could pull this out? I see it's from 2014.
Yeah.
Could we put this in?
Is that not coaching?
Okay, they're game planning.
Yes.
Okay, and I believe Belichick basically allowed Tom and Josh to figure out the offense on the fly during the week.
Right.
And again, would Bill occasionally say, I think we should run it here? Sure, he might say that. Let's run it instead of throw it. But he wouldn't say, run whatever the play was.
Nah. And you were like, oh, Tom, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Let Josh handle that, or let the receiver coach handle that. That's what BA is making it seem like, that they suppressed him, that Tom just went out there, was robotic, does his job, and went home. Stop this.
No, stop it.
You can highlight what Tom has been in your locker room. He's positive. The confidence that he exudes, it permeates through our locker room. He's coaching the guys up. He's like, nah, I'm going to need you, because Tom is all about timing. Now, if you're out of the break and I'm not out of my drop, what good is that?
All about timing.
So
maybe more about timing than anybody's ever been about timing.
Right. So he's coaching them up. Guys, I need everything to coincide. Mm-hmm. When my back foot hit, I would like for you to be coming out of the break. Mm-hmm. I would like for you to be here. But don't try to take a shot at Coach Belichick when he ain't lying with me. Hell, you make it seem like Tom was the only one that he didn't allow to be himself. He didn't let anybody beat himself.
Nobody. I agree. Yet, as we all know, in the locker room, Tom was the good cop.
Right.
And would tell even the newcomers, hey, it's just how he is.
Right.
Just accept it, because we're going to win.
Correct.
It's going to work.
Right.
And they all bought into, because if Tom buys in,
right,
the team is going to buy in.
And Skip, normally the substitute is not as hard as the teacher.
No.
I mean, everybody loves the substitute, because she let you go to the bathroom without a pad. She let you eat in the classroom, chew gum when you're not supposed to have gum, because you're going to stick it up under the desk. B.A., you do realize you're the substitute, right?
He's the substitute
so,
teacher.
Bro, let this go.
Okay, so to me, his ego got threatened early by coaching the GOAT.
Right.
And so when the GOAT lost, he was quick to criticize him, to say, I'm still in charge.
Right.
I am the coach. Right. Everybody understands I'm still the head coach, right? Well, he's still trying to show you I'm the head coach, and in fact,
I let him do things that his other coach wouldn't let him do. Yeah. I let him coach.
Yeah, I know how to handle him better than Belichick
knew
how to handle him.
Stop. Come back, Coach Belichick.
Stop it. Okay.
Why?
Just enjoy the ride.
That's all you got to do,
yeah,
Skip.
I mean,
each coach is different. Coach Reeves treated me different than Mike. Mike treated me different than Wade. Wade treated me different than Coach Billick. Mm. You understand that. But Tom's at a different stage of his career now. I don't know if in year two or three you're going to let Tom have the access that he has right
Agreed.
Now.
Yep.
For all these youngins, yeah? Good job, B.A. But you're doing a heck of a job, B.A. You coaching him up.
Nah, he's coaching him up.
No mercy.